Welcome into This Has to Work. Today I am joined by Kimberly Falkenberg. Kimber is a community builder, board member, and is currently the co-founder of Sequence, a travel workflow automation and sequencing software platform that works for everyone, from individual travel agents to enterprise-level travel agencies. Sequence eliminates the ad hoc, unrelated, non-integrated, error-prone software solutions agents have always been forced to use. Kimber, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Matt. Great to be here.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. So, like many founders, you've had an interesting career path and ultimately culminates in co-founding a startup. So tell us a little bit about your journey from working in health and human services roles to the travel industry and now software and startups.
Excuse me. I've always had a deep passion and appreciation for travel. I've taken the opportunity to visit 49 of the 50 United States. I've visited several countries and also lived in five states in my adulthood. But to answer your question, the travel thing has always been there and been a part of me. But to answer your question, kind of the whole journey professionally went from hospitality to corporate, and then found my way into health and human services. It was at that time that I experienced a personal tragedy, and my father became terminally ill and then subsequently passed away. And during that time, I think like a lot of people, there was self-reflection. What do I want to do with my life? What do I want to do when I grow up? And this is not too long ago. So,
yeah. And
evaluated what I really cared about, what I was passionate about. Entrepreneurship was one, travel was another. And I was presented with an opportunity to enter in the luxury travel planning space as, for lack of better terms, a travel agent. And I turned my nose up. I thought, like a lot of people, I thought that industry is not a thing now, is it?
Right.
I imagined, you know, we say it all the time, blue-haired old ladies at the mall passing out brochures. Like, this is not what I envisioned.
I envision just the world being eaten by like Expedia and Kayak and all of those things. But we'll talk more about this. But yeah, it's way more complicated than that.
It is an amazing industry of not blue-haired old ladies. Although that would be great, and there might be some. That's amazing. But I took the opportunity after learning a little bit more. Had a great time in my first year as a luxury travel planner. And I grew my business very quickly, but I also learned about the antiquated and fragmented industry and how desperate people were for solutions to increase efficiencies and just make their lives better in the world, and my life better as a travel advisor. And so I started messing around with this idea of building some software to solve these problems. But at the time, like all of us in 2019, we were very, very busy and turning away new business. And then unexpectedly, a global pandemic came and totally devastated the industry. By that time, I had met what are now my co-founders. And during the downtime of 2021, we had an opportunity to build something which is now called Sequence. And so here we are. It's been an interesting journey.
So as of this recording, Sequence launched about a week ago. That's a huge milestone for any founder. I can also imagine that the roller coaster ride of emotions of leading up to that, the panic, the excitement, the elation once it finally you hit go and the whole world doesn't come screeching to a halt Y2K style. That's certainly a nice hurdle to clear. How's the response been so far? What does that look like since you guys have launched?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The emotions of going live with your product, so many startup founders have experienced this. It's terrifying. But to be honest, the few days leading up to our launch, it was a great lesson in trust, like trusting my team, trusting the process. I've been told by you and lots of other people in the community, in the ecosystem, to know we're never going to feel totally ready.
Right.
But until I went to bed the night before, very confident, knowing that we didn't have it all figured out, but still feeling good about where we were. That morning, we were scheduled to launch at 10 a.m. That morning, I was not calm.
Yeah.
I was really beside myself. To your point, I just was sure everything was going to crash, or that it would be crickets and no one would sign up. I'm very happy to report that we did have several people sign up. We had 50 small businesses sign up from our platform in the first 48 hours from launch. And since then, we have a pipeline of 7 enterprise customers.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're busy.
Yeah. Well, and the team that helped launch this were new. I mean, some of the folks in your team, I guess actually the balance of your team, you know, have been on this journey with you for a matter of weeks, you know, maybe months, but not a long time. So that's a tremendous amount of trust to put in your team that's so relatively new as they launched it. So community for you has always been really important, right? You and I have had conversations about this, and you have a few professional communities that you specifically lean into. Why is that community building such a priority for you? Because you just outlined, like, you're trying to launch a product, you're trying to, you know, get your startup up and running, you're hiring new people, you're onboarding new people, you're doing all this stuff. And yet I seem to see you all over the place working with people and leaning into that. So why is that so important to you?
Yeah, I'm going to answer this question with two parts. I think, and maybe we can bring it back to the travel experience. I think you have a choice when you travel to get to a location and visit the sights and eat the food and do the walking around town. And all of those things are wonderful. But for me, I really don't feel the essence of a place or understand what it's like until I meet and experience the people and the community in it. I think otherwise you're skimming the surface. And that is true for me. I've mentioned that I lived in 5, you know, states in my adulthood. And those are usually, you know, been like 5 to 10 years each. It takes a while and it takes a lot of guts, and it's a practiced effort to build that community intentionally. One, I don't want to be lonely in my new cities. So that's why it's personally important. But two, it's not skimming the surface, right? I get to really understand who the people are in that community, and they get to understand me, and therefore we can be there for each other. And then the second part of that question, I want to talk about a specific community I'm involved with, which is female founders. And oftentimes that's a group of underrepresented founders in general. And I was thinking about this topic of bootstrapping lately and how everyone is talking about how you should be bootstrapping. And if you're not bootstrapping, it's not a good idea. Or that folks who are bootstrapping or decide to in the near future from this point forward are going to be the people who succeed. I don't disagree with that. But because I'm a member of several communities, I was able to open this dialogue up and talk about it. And identified why it was feeling uncomfortable. Mm. And it's for us and for me, what we identified is that bootstrapping is a luxury for many. And it's oftentimes not even nearly possible for people of certain backgrounds. So there's got to be some level of privilege or foundational financial stability that comes that you have when you're doing that. If you're over the age of 21 and right. And have, and I'm, you know, well past that age. So anyway, I bring that up because I think I probably would have felt very conflicted internally about our decisions as a company on how to move forward had I not had a community of people I trusted to turn to and ask the question. And that's where you learn you normalize your thoughts and feelings, and then you feel more confident to go advocate for yourself or explain some of the decisions that you make for your business every day.
Yeah. And I think it's important. I mean, we talk about representation a bunch. And when I say representation, I think it's important for someone to see a person that they feel is like me, right? Or may have a similar background as me, or may have had a similar life experience or life context as I have. And then it makes something feel more possible, if not more probable. And we have an underrepresentation problem among, you know, kind of tech founders, especially people of color and female. So that's an important role to take, even if it's just like demonstrating, like, this is possible. This is something that you can do.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, we work together. I think allies are just as important as the individuals themselves. And so I appreciate what you and your group have done. And there's quite a few organizations here in Birmingham who pay attention to, yep, who's at the table, who's in the room, and make a real intentional effort. So.
Yeah, one of the things that I've watched you do in the short time that you've been here is really try and exercise kind of the ability to convene folks. Mm-hmm. Like you can bring groups of people together. It's seemingly, I'm sure it's not, but from the outside, it looks pretty effortless. And so that's a huge role for any person to play, especially somebody who's brand new and to the community. And speaking of community and its importance to you, you moved your entire existence and company from arguably one of the biggest hotbeds of startups and tech in the United States in Austin, Texas, and you moved to Birmingham. And you did it pretty fresh off of coming out of a Techstars Austin cohort, which is a very competitive Techstars to get into. Did they all just look at you like you had grown a third eyeball and had lost it completely? Like, what was their reaction to your announcement that you were going to relocate everything to Birmingham, Alabama?
How did they wanted to know how they failed me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. They were shocked. It did not seem to make sense. But once I had the opportunity to explain, they got it. But yeah, it was a shocker for sure for everyone involved.
and to follow up on that, so why Birmingham? Why do that? That's a massive move. And some people would look at it on paper and go, why would you move away from Austin? All this stuff is happening to, you know, at best an emerging ecosystem in Birmingham, Alabama.
I want to tell you the story of our first night in Birmingham. First time I ever visited Birmingham and never intended to move to Birmingham. Had, unfortunately, low expectations. We need to change that, right? But I walked into Paper Doll, which is a lovely bar downtown. And there were several people already there. My co-founder and I walked in. We a wonderful person, Maria Underwood from Birmingham Bound, had invited us to the happy hour. There were several people who were walking up to me, shaking my hand, saying, "Nice to meet you, Kimber. Watch the video. Really excited to have you here." And after about three or four of those experiences, interactions, turned to Maria and I said, "What video?" And she said, "Your Techstars pitch video." And I said, "They've all watched it." She said, "Yes, I sent it out." And that was a moment where I turned to her and said, "Is everyone here for us?" I honestly did not realize.
You just thought you walked into like a pre-existing
happy hour. Yeah, there was an ecosystem happy hour happening, which
it's
happens.
Like ladies night or like buy one, get one free beers or.
Oh, I mean, I thought it was maybe a startup ecosystem happy hour, but not a Sequence is coming to visit. Yeah. Let's show them what it's all about here. Happy hour. And I mean, even to the extent that Maria brought in a potential enterprise customer who was there to talk about Birmingham. It's the nation's oldest travel agency was birthed right here in Birmingham, Brownell Travel.
Really?
It's true. Yeah. Huh. I thought it was a good sign for us. So needless to say, you know, Economic Development Corporation, the city of Birmingham, various startup founders, one of our potential, you know, future partners, investors, everyone was there just to introduce us to the community. And as you mentioned, community is a big piece for me. So we didn't make the decision right then and there. We came back a second time, but it was an obvious fit after we learned more about the people here.
And it didn't hurt that I took you and your co-founders to Shoe Shop, which is arguably one of the best spots the entire Southeast.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. And great drinks, delicious food.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's definitely one of my favorites. I might be biased as two of my friends own it. but I think it stands on its own, regardless of that bias. So now looking back, it sounds funny, looking back several weeks, looking back a couple of months and thinking, okay, we've made this move. We're in Birmingham. Any second thoughts or any kind of like, hey, this was really crazy and maybe too crazy?
No, absolutely not. I have been so pleasantly surprised by new developments. It feels like every week, and this is, I could literally wear a billboard at this point talking about how amazing Birmingham has been for us. But every week there's a new opportunity. I just completed, we office out of Innovation Depot, for example. They just released, and I just completed working on an application for a grant that they have available for everyone who, you know, resides, has their office there in the building. A couple of weeks ago, I participated in the Economic Development Corporation's investor connection where they brought out-of-state investors to Birmingham to meet with us individually. So I just can't speak enough about it's been one of the best decisions we've made for Sequence so far.
So you came from a very well-established, very famous, very kind of gravitational startup market, startup ecosystem in Austin, and you come to Birmingham, and to your point, like there's a lot of good raw kind of materials level set here. But how do you hope to see the Birmingham ecosystem evolve over time?
So, you know, I've been here since September of last year, so I can't do the math right now, 8 or 9 months. It's not been very long, so I don't want to speak too much about what my expectations moving forward. But I will say you've done a great job so far, Birmingham. Keep it up. And then I noticed something that other emerging ecosystems may struggle with. I hope we don't as we move forward, which is to be really stuck on asking founders or companies how long their commitment will be to Birmingham. Focused on whether or not someone's truly committed, I do not believe is the way to go. I think we have a much more transient community today across the nation post-COVID. I think especially younger people are valuing the opportunity to move and experience different you know, communities at any given time. And also, that kind of puts the ownership on the founder to do everything they can to stay, when in fact, isn't it our responsibility to?
100% agree with that. Right. It should be something that an ecosystem, a community should be earning that kind of retention on a daily, you know, weekly, monthly, annual basis. And yeah, 100%, that should never be on the founders, that should never be on the startups, because I think if you take the, you know, a long enough view and start looking ahead, you go, well, they need to be where they're going to be most successful. It's really up to the resourcing of any individual area to kind of bring those resources to bear on behalf of those companies. It's weird to me because I've always felt like startups and tech companies are treated a little bit differently from the economic development lens. You know, we bend over backwards for, you know, these production facilities and manufacturers and tax incentives and all of these things that basically guarantee they have to stay here. And there's a huge financial benefit to doing it. But for startup founders, we're like, how long are you planning to be here? even though we've given you very little financial support. And frankly speaking, we've now just put the onus on you. So yeah, I 100% agree with you. That feels very much kind of misplaced. But let's go back to Sequence for just a second. I'm not sure I did a fantastic job of explaining it, and it certainly didn't do Sequence its full justice in my intro. So talk a little bit about what Sequence does, and what are the pain points that it's solving for travel agencies, agents, and enterprise-level customers?
All right. This is the part I get excited about.
Good.
Right. So I'm going to answer with the one sentence and then dive more directly to speak with my customers.
Techstars has trained you well.
Yeah, exactly. Sequence is a purpose-built workflow automation platform for the growing travel agency industry.
Well done.
Thank you. That's practiced. I'll speak directly to the customers who might be listening right now, or our future customers. If you are a travel advisor and you've been in the business for a while and you have a huge book of business, or even a moderate book of business, you have thousands and thousands of tasks that it takes to operate your business on a daily basis. You're managing clients, which is oftentimes, you know, AKA being a counselor. You're overwhelmed. You don't know how you're going to keep it all straight. This is exactly why we built Sequence. As former travel advisors ourselves, we understood the need, and we put together a platform that very simply orders everything you need to do in your daily operations, not just what you need to do, but when you need to do it. And we removed all of the headaches of having to set up that system on your own. For example, if you were doing something in Trello or Basecamp and trying to turn it into a tool for this industry, it's never going to be, and ours is. And then if you're new to the industry, our platform can certainly help you get from 1 to 3 and start building a very meaningful travel advisor and travel planning business. And then for our enterprise customers, this really is about increasing efficiencies across the board for all of your travel advisors in your community, which then obviously can increase your opportunity for revenue.
One thing that you have helped me understand is kind of what's at stake first, and then also to the scalability problem for independent travel advisors. So let me take these in two pieces. The first one is what's at stake can be as simple as we didn't get this thing booked in the time frame we needed to get it booked for availability, for a certain price, for a sequence of events within the overall travel plan. And when you miss that, you can't fix that, or it becomes hard to fix that. And it can be as simple as an error, right? It can be as simple as, oh, I did this thing before the order of operations. Yeah. And even experienced, you know, professionals are very prone to making those kinds of simple mistakes, because right now, without sequence, maybe they have something on an Excel file, and then they have something on a Word file, and then on a notepad, and then in these three different, you know, accounting softwares or websites or pages or all of that stuff.
It's the game of how many post-its can you fit around your laptop to remind you of what you need to do.
And then you got to post it over top of another post-it, which is the one you really needed. And yeah, for sure. So that was the first thing. And the other part of it is scalability, because at some point in time, this comes down to the expertise and the labor that's represented in doing this work. So a travel agent, a professional, internal stakeholder, whoever it is that's doing this work, they can be extremely good at what they do, and they can do things that other people certainly can't do for themselves. Mm-hmm. But if they can't do it faster, more efficiently, they do less of that work. For an independent travel agency, that means you're making less revenue. And so you have a scale issue. So you are solving for that as well, which is you can now do more business at a high level for more people in the same period of time, because you're not chasing post-it notes around the, you know, perimeter of your laptop.
Yes. And I'm in love with the travel advisor industry, the travel agency industry. You're talking about folks who really value travel as a transformational experience. And folks who love being entrepreneurs. And so these are some of my favorite people. And they are so passionate about what they do, planning these trips for their clients. They also understand that many of their clients are, these trips mean something, whether it's because they saved, you know, all year long to be able to take it, or because they're taking their grandchildren on this incredible opportunity over the summer. So missing a beat, missing any smallest detail has the potential to have enormous consequences for that family. And travel advisors really do care.
Yeah.
And so yeah, our platform is helping decrease those errors and those omissions, and also providing a sense of peacefulness and kind of reducing the chaos that's running around in your head all day, worried that you might have forgotten something that is vitally important. And right now, I don't know if you've tried to book a trip to Europe lately, but for example, I mean, I think half the world is planning to go to Italy and Greece in 2024.
Well, I just saw something interesting that we're talking about, like airfare to Italy specifically went from, it was cheaper to fly to Italy than like Chicago for a few months. And now it's prohibitively expensive.
Yes.
If you can even get a flight in the first place.
That's right. And you alluded to it. You know, travel advisors, they know, they can see these things coming. They're professionals, just like your financial planners or financial advisors. They're professionals in the world of travel. They see trends. They know what to watch out for. Good ones contacted their clients, you know, a year ago and said, if you're planning on Italy in 2024, let's do it now. Let me call the hotel. Let me reach out, send the email, ping them, whatever, you know, mechanism they're using to make sure you get that corner room I know is so good, right? And that you're not stuck trying to plan 6 months out and there's really nothing available, or you're going to spend $10,000 on a room that was $2,000 a few months before.
So Sequence has launched at least its first version, kind of market ready version. What's the initial feedback been like from the users that have, by the way, have been sitting on a wait list for how long?
Yeah, a while.
Yeah.
Embarrassed.
We'll just say while.
A while.
Yeah, okay.
Dot, dot, dot.
A while. So they're on the platform. They're using it. It's early. They've only been using it for really a number of days at this point. What's that initial feedback been like?
Good. We have some learnings, of course, but we had 86% of the people who logged into our platform for the very first time utilize the in-app tools we built to follow the instructions of, for example, completing their first workflow. For us, that was enormous. That was a really great learning for us to say, folks want to learn how this platform works and put it into use. And we have folks who are using the platform today, and you can't ask for more than that. But honestly, it's not a number I would be satisfied with, and not because I'm a perfectionist, but because we want to make sure that people have a tool they can really use. So the interesting feedback that I'm getting is I did the thing you asked me to do. I logged in. I built a workflow. I saved it. I completely see the value in your platform. I'm loving it. I'm definitely going to use it, but I'm really busy right now. I'm going to set this aside, and I'm going to come back to it when I have time to migrate my information into your platform so I can use it every day. And what that taught us is we needed to present an opportunity for us to facilitate moving their data into the platform and making that experience very seamless. Understanding that travel advisors, everyone's very busy right now. They've got barely 5 minutes for themselves or their kids. Our job is to make this simple. So that's what we're focused on.
So that's really interesting. So you're taking the feedback you're getting. You're obviously doing something with that feedback, which, by the way, that's what you should do as a founder. Certainly what you should do with a launched product. I'm not sure everybody does it. And I'm not sure people don't put off launches in fear of having feedback come back that potentially challenges you, right? Or says, oh, we didn't have this quite right. My counter argument is always, well, if you didn't, how would you know? You can't predict the future. And frankly speaking, it's always going to be a user that breaks whatever it is that you spent so much time trying to build. But in that becomes the innovation, or out of that comes the innovation that's probably required to make a better product. So you're implementing that feedback, and that's in development. But what's next for Sequence? What are you excited about? What's coming down the pike, as they say?
Yeah, so it's directly related to, we have great advisors, very hands-on advisors. Again, community building matters, right? Getting stakeholders engaged in the process. And so we have this cohort of folks that came on from our wait list. And I say cohort because the great advice we had was, now that we have these enterprise folks, the worst thing we can do is invite 450 users onto the platform at once and from one of the enterprise customers.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong, right? We can't adequately service those folks. So I would say what's next is to make sure that we become exceptional service providers. We are a technology-first platform, but our industry is driven on personalized service. So how can we build things within the app or within the website? How can we, and then supplement it with white glove experiences? What I hope is that in 6 months from now, we have a cadre of users of Sequence that say, I'm here and I'm okay with them messing up occasionally or not getting it quite right, because I know that when I send the message in the chat box, they're responding immediately. Because I know that when I have a problem, Sequence is going to be there to help me with my business.
It's a really good point. I don't think people fully appreciate the brand loyalty and the user experience that you can create from fixing a fault, right? So I messed up.
Yeah.
I apologize. I own it. I fix it. And whenever that happens, that's the same experience for everybody who has that issue. In my mind, I think there's an argument to be made that that's creating a more loyal user than if nothing goes wrong and they don't have the experience of saying, hey, I'm putting my hand up, this is wrong, fix it. And you go, yeah, it is wrong. We're really sorry. Here's the fix, or we're working on it. And here's when you can expect the fix.
Yeah, it takes humility. It's hard, and you any startup founder will say it's blood, sweat, and tears to get something built, get it out, and the idea of having to backtrack with it is it can make you sick to your stomach a little bit. But that's why having either some experience in building to a certain extent and not beyond that is vitally important. But at the end of the day, I mean, to think that we're going to be perfect out of the gate or that we're not going to screw up is just absurd.
Yeah. And you got to set expectations for yourself to go like, we're going to mess this up. Like, we didn't get it all right. We didn't get, you know, we had to take a thousand assumptions, you know, some percentage of those assumptions will be incorrect or will be incongruent with another assumption that we made that, you know, who can connect all those tissues, together.
And I think, you know, I think everyone on our team, albeit some of them are new, to your point, have also fallen in love with the community of travel advisors. And so I think that shines through when you're in, and when you're engaging with us and you're engaging with the platform. Hopefully a user or a community member knows that we're here to support the travel entrepreneur, period, full stop.
And what you have shared with me that I found really interesting, and it seems naive to say it out loud, you know, now that I know it, but I don't know that the average person that's not in the industry can appreciate how much agents love to travel. And how much they love to have that experience. And they've all got this like little list of, you know, this is the best restaurant outside of Barcelona for the springtime when this particular thing is being harvested or whatever. Like, there's some specificity I've seen on Instagram with some of these folks where it's like, this is the place to be between, you know, March 3rd and April 17th. Yeah. And they just love it. I mean, it's such a passion for them. And I'm sure that comes through in their work. And then you give them a tool that makes them more efficient at doing that great job and really exercising that expertise. That again, I think if you've worked with a travel agent on anything remotely complex, or for in my case, not that complex, but I still don't want to deal with it, you really come to appreciate the way they think and they're thinking through, because they're thinking about it as if they were doing it themselves.
Yeah.
Because they do it themselves all the time.
Yeah. Good travel advisors are visiting those locations, or they visited multiple times and they know all the good spots, and they want you to have the exact experience they have, right? And to feel it. It's travel is emotional, I mean, in nature. With Sequence, I mean, not only can we help with scaling and hopefully travel advisors who want to build their business and grow it can, but also, I mean, just as many, I think, want to be able to actually travel again and enjoy their business. And so creating efficiencies frees up more time in their schedule to say yes when they're given the opportunity to visit that new hotel that just opened in Rome, for example.
So I'll put you on the spot in that same vein, which is, what's one place that probably isn't on most people's radar that you think, hey, this is a bucket list, figure out how to get to this place or this region or this area?
Morocco, for sure. It's my favorite so far. And I think it's probably on a lot of people's bucket list. Mm. But it may stay there for a really long time because it feels overwhelming or confusing how to navigate it or plan it. And so, of course, give a little plug. This is when you call a travel advisor, right? A travel advisor knows how to do it. They can make sure you have a great experience. Make sure you put it on the bucket list and then do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, Kimber, well, tell people where they can find you. Where can they find Sequence? Where can they find you on socials or email or however you're willing to be contacted?
You can contact me directly at Kimber, K-I-M-B-E-R, at getsequence.com, and that Sequence is with all S's, SEQUENSE. I love hearing from our community, so please do reach out. Other than that, you can find us active on Instagram. That's where a lot of our community lives, so at Sequence. Also on Facebook, at Sequence.
It's a great follow, I'll be honest with you. It makes me want to travel more often. It gets me excited about that. So, cool. Kimber, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your time.